It's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
WEEI. Watch us, love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Hour three of the Rich Keefe Show here on WEEI, and it's conference championship weekend. We already made our picks for Eagles, Niners, and Chiefs, Bengals. We'll get into some of the player props here coming up in a second. You can follow the program on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Keefe Show. You can tweet at us 24/7. Doesn't matter what you're doing during your day or if we're on or off the air. Feel free to tweet us and engage with the program. You can also call us this hour. It's the final hour. It's an abbreviated edition this week and next week because of Boomer and Valenti during football season. But I believe after that, we'll have the full four-hour program once again Monday through Friday. But you can join us at 617-779-7937. And, Ben, looking at some of these player props, there's three players who the anytime touchdown is minus money. So basically Vegas is like, these guys are going to score touchdowns. In the NFC, only Christian McCaffrey is a minus anytime touchdown. So anybody else you want to bet to get a touchdown, you're at least making some coin. Jalen Hurts is plus 110. A.J. Brown plus 115. You know who I kind of like is George Kittle. I feel like this could be a Kittle game. Plus 160 on the anytime touchdown. And if you want to get real nuts, he's plus 1,100 for the first touchdown scorer.
I kind of like that. Like I don't know. Like I feel like McCaffrey and Debo are going to get a lot of attention.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you can kind of, as long as it's not a big time play, I think you'd sneak down low and get something with Kittle.
I think it's possible. And then if you look to the AFC title game, Travis Kelce is minus 115 and Ja'Marr Chase is minus 105. It's funny, Ja'Marr Chase for a while was plus money for the anytime touchdown. Like they're throwing to Ja'Marr Chase all the time. And like that, it feels like he was going to score more often than not. It's funny, the other guys on the Chiefs, I should say, are kind of up in the air. You know, you have Jerick McKinnon at plus 140, Juju Smith-Schuster plus 275. I don't know if you can really rely on any of the running backs with the Kansas City Chiefs, or receivers, I should say. I don't love those guys. Joe Burrow, who will occasionally sneak it in, right? He's not mobile per se, but he at least can do it a little bit. He's at plus 310. So that one's actually not too bad. If you're looking for some juice, right? You're looking to make some money on these bets. But I like those ones. Passing props. Brock Purdy, over under 1.5. Actually, for all these guys, 1.5 touchdowns. I would say for Purdy, probably the under. And for Hurts, I would go the over. Burrow, I would go over, no doubt. But that's really weighted. If you look at it, it's minus 175, meaning you'd have to put $175 down to win 100. So I don't love that, even though it's very likely it'll happen. And then Mahomes' number, it's funny. He's the only one out of the four quarterbacks that his over-under is actually 2.5. You do get more money, though, if you hit the over on the 2.5. So I like that one a little bit. Burrow, that's an easy one, but maybe not worth the money on it. As for, let's see, receiving yards props, no, I'm looking at rushing props now. Joe Burrow, 17.5. That seems way too high. I'd probably take the under on that. Jalen Hurts, 46.5. Again, Hurts, I could see him picking up some big game. The San Francisco defense is very good. They obviously have the defensive player of the year. Well, one of the candidates. I think he'll win it in Nick Bosa. So I think there's going to be pressure on Hurts. And I could see him, the combination of the design runs as well as just the play broke down, I better scoot. I could see him going over 46.5. Again, I like the Eagles and I like the Bengals this week. So maybe maybe a little sprinkle on some of these as well as they get going. But if you have any thoughts on these games, let us know. The other thing, we don't do a ton of this, but the old this day in sports kind of story, this is a major one. This one's wild to think about. So 23 years ago today, Bill Belichick takes over as the head coach of the New England Patriots. And it's funny because we have just been listening to Bill Belichick at press conferences every week since then, 2-3 times a week since then. I haven't had a chance to interview him for a couple years, brag. And, you know, you're just so used to the Bill Belichick now. and maybe how you feel about him, especially after a losing season, and you know how little he gives the media. There's very little joking around, that whole kind of thing. So this is 23 years ago to the day. So try to envision where you were 23 years ago. I mean, I didn't even have my driver's license yet. And Bill Belichick took over and is still the head coach with, you know what, maybe for the first time, an actual end in sight, but still probably a year, 2 years away. And so here's Bill Belichick on January 27th, 2000, taking over as head coach of the New England Patriots.
Hopefully this press conference will go a little better than the last one I had. First of all, I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight. I know it's late and short notice. I know the last 3 weeks have probably been trying for all of you, but that's all behind me. I'm tremendously excited to be here, to be a part of the New England Patriots organization. This is a first-class operation. I've had an outstanding experience in 1996 when I was here with the Patriots and with Robert. And I'm thrilled to be part of this organization and to be able to have the opportunity to lead this team. The opportunity to be in coaching was something that I wasn't sure that I would have as late as 24 hours ago this year. And I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to have this chance to coach in the 2000 season.
I like him a lot, and I believe he's the most capable person at this point in time to help us win next year.
Along with the two Super Bowl wins, this is a career highlight for me. It's a tremendous opportunity. I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to be a part of the Patriots organization. I don't know if I can adequately put it into words, but I'm very happy. The shopping list is quite a long one, but the staff, speaking with the members of the current staff, coaching staff considerations, players, salary cap issues, personnel issues, free agencies right around the corner. There's a lot of things that need to be done in a relatively short amount of time, and I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to get those things done efficiently and in a manner which will give our football team the best opportunity to win, and that's all I really am about is trying to win football games.
He's just someone I respect a lot. I think he's very intelligent. He's very diligent and hardworking. He's a student of the game, and he's driven to win.
Just crazy. So you got Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, obviously the other voice that you hear in there 23 years ago. So obviously both guys sound similar yet very different. And just how excited Bill Belichick was for the opportunity. Because again, if you go back to that time, he was announced as the head coach of the New York Jets and then famously wrote, "I resign as HC of the NYJ," and then ended up, this is one that we probably should pull clips from, he had like a 30-minute speech explaining his resignation. That whole thing was a mess, like his role with Parcells, then Parcells leaves, and then what was going on with the ownership there with the Jets. They covered a lot of it in the Two Bills 30 for 30 documentary. And then, so that was January 4th, where he was, "You're the head coach of the Jets." And he's like, "No, I'm not," the next day. And that's why he talked at the beginning of the press conference. Like, I didn't even know if I was going to be coaching in 2000. I didn't know what was going on. And so the Patriots had just fired Pete Carroll, and the Patriots were like, "Hey, can we interview Bill Belichick?" And then the next thing you know, they get him. They give him a first-round pick to get Bill Belichick. He comes in, is basically given full team control. Scott Pioli was there, so those guys kind of like split duties a little bit. But Bill Belichick comes in, and first year they go 5-11. They miss the playoffs. So it wasn't like immediately we all knew, like, "Oh, this guy's the answer. Bill Belichick's going to be great." Sort of off to an odd start. But wild to think about, you know, that was day one of what is 23 years and counting in the number of Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl appearances, division titles, records, all this stuff. It's wild. I know there's a few other coaches that have good tenure. You know, Mike Tomlin's been with the Steelers for a while. Harbaugh's been with the Ravens for a while. But really, really hard to imagine any coaches now getting in and being with one team for 20 years. Because there's just so many things. Teams don't have patience, first of all. If you don't get the quarterback early, good luck sticking around. And then what we're hearing now, so guys are getting into it younger, so they might be set up to be there longer. But how about Sean McVay? Like, Sean McVay felt like a guy that was like, oh, yeah, he might be there 20 years because of the success early, and he's like 15 years old. You're like, well, actually, he might be burnt out, or he might get paid way more money to be an analyst on TV. So I feel like all those different areas where guys could go, or like the money's also so crazy, right? So let's say you're a head coach and you're making $10, $15, $20 million a year for 10 years. And you have that grind and you're away from your family or whatever. You going to keep doing it for 23, 24, 25 years? Like, probably not going to happen. So if Bill can lock down this wins record over Don Shula, I would say that's a record that's never going to be touched. Now, I know they're adding games, right? They're adding wild card games and they're adding games to the regular season. So I guess maybe there's a little bit of a chance, but still, you got to go on some unbelievable run and just be employed the entire time. So it's not going to happen. But yeah, don't do a ton of those this date in sports, but that was a wild one when I saw that pop up today. 23 years ago, Bill Belichick. And again, trying to remember what that month was like where he goes from the Jets to the Patriots and everything that was with Parcells. And what a weird time. I would say it worked out, though. Worked out pretty well for the New England Patriots. You can join the program, 617-779-7937. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram, at Rich Keefe Show. Ryan Davey, the Hashtag Dork Podcast, will join us later on this hour. We'll do our six Infinity Stones of sports questions. We'll also do this week in Hashtag Dork. But right now, here is Ben with What's Trending.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now, it's the Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Friday night, I'm thinking that we just might fly away to someplace they don't know who we are. Now I'm riding shotgun in your car. We drive through the city like explorers going 65. Blowing hair flying across your face. We left on Friday, now it's Saturday. Fresh jeans buttoned up, jeans iron slipping up. Red shoes walking slow, headphones flaring three stacks. Sunglasses flaring out, thick watch hanging low. Studded belt pulled taut, three stacks on the radio. Friday night, I'm thinking that we just might run away to some place. We can be who we are. We can be who we are. I love you, Mom.
All right, here we go. A Friday night on the Rich Keefe Show, WEEI, and thrilled to be joined right now on the Harbor One Hotline by the one and only King of Ginger Ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you, sir? Oh, no, Ben. Oh, no. I don't think he can hear us. I don't think he can hear us. We can hear him, but we can't hear us. We have hit another snag. We have hit yet another snag. We'll get this worked out here. But Davey of the Hashtag Dork Podcast joining us as he does on Friday nights. And we've hit a couple of technical snafus along the way. But fear not. We will get this done. We have a lot to cover with Davey, including the six Infinity Stones of sports questions, as well as this week in Hashtag Dork. Because we have taken a little bit of a time off from the podcast where we're doing that, because we are now a live reaction video. Davey, let's try it again. Can you hear me now, sir? He can hear us now. We cannot hear him. All right, now he's back.
We're back now?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but I'm also getting an echo of myself in return. All right, here we go. I think that's better now. Davey, how are you, sir?
I'm good now.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Good.
Good. Good to see your face.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes.
All right. Six Infinity Stones of sports questions right out of the shoot here, Ryan. After the Bruins lost last night to the Tampa Bay Lightning, I don't know if this is your answer or not, but what team has the best chance of beating the Bruins in the playoffs?
So you just cut out now, but hopefully you can still hear me. So I got the question.
I can hear you. Yeah, you got me?
So I hate anytime Bruins play in Tampa.
Okay.
So like I can't. You got me?
I got you. You hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay.
So I say I hate any time the Bruins play in Tampa. I think that's such a tough place and such a tough team to play. The other team that kind of scares me out of the East is Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're really good. And the other team, so I'm thinking about this constantly now. Like, with the, you know, it's coming to the All-Star break, you know, all that stuff. I really like the way that New Jersey is built.
Okay.
I think
okay.
they're like a young physical team. And last but not least, I think Buffalo's a year away.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Buffalo's so good. They're going to be so good in like the next 2-3 years.
So Tampa's your choice overall.
Overall, I would say that's probably the hardest team they're going to have to play.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Do you think Heim Bloom makes it through the entire year?
Yes, he will make it through the entire year. But when it comes time in the early fall, when the Baltimore Orioles are looking down on the Red Sox,
yeah,
that's going to be – you're going to have to take a hard look in the mirror. Get that geek out of here, huh?
I think they gave him this offseason, so you wonder, are you not going to fire him at the first sign of things struggling? Because I think a big part of it is, these young guys are going to be really good in 2024.
But if you're in the basement,
yeah, you can only take so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. So maybe that'll be it. Question number three. Which non-quarterback playing this weekend would you most want on the Patriots?
So I did this by team.
Okay. Oh, by team, that's even better.
So I did this by team. So for the Eagles,
yep.
Give me Lane Johnson.
Oh.
That guy's a stud.
He is. That's a hoss. That's a good one.
That guy's an absolute hoss, and you need bolstering on your offensive line. Am I right? Am I right?
You are right. You couldn't be more right.
The 49ers, give me Debo.
Yeah.
I would love to see just a dynamic player that, like, and I know that our venerable coach Belichick would love to see him in different positions and like flex him out and do different things with him, like a new David Patton, you know?
A souped up David Patton.
Yeah. The Chiefs. Yeah, the easy answer is Kelsey, but I think I'm going to go with Nick Bolton.
Oh,
a stud middle linebacker.
That's not a bad one.
That's not a bad one, right?
No, I like that one. And then Bengals.
And then the Bengals, obviously, I mean, this is the easy one. You got to take Ja'Marr Chase, right?
Have to. Yeah, I'd go Ja'Marr Chase. I'm tempted to take Debo as well, but I might go Nick Bosa.
Not bad.
You know, I put him on the other side of Judon, and then that would just, you know, you would wreck havoc.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that might
you know, there's
good.
No bad answers there.
A lot of good players playing on championship weekend, as it turns out.
That's right.
You know, A.J. Brown for Philly is another guy I think I would probably take him. And then Kansas City. Probably just Kelsey. I mean,
that's the easy one. You know, in a tight end heavy offense, I mean, you're kind of like.
Yeah. No, that's true.
But.
All right, this was a topic that came up on the show yesterday because of the Matt Patricia era in New England, or at least as offensive coordinator, has come to an end. Joe Judge no longer the quarterback's coach. What is the worst decision Bill Belichick has ever made in his Patriots career?
So I had my knee-jerk reaction to this has to be not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's my pick.
That's just my gut.
Yeah.
However, not getting any first round pick right ever.
Oh, that's more of a recent trend.
That's a recent trend.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
Come on, man. Like, we're wasting first round. Never mind. I'm going to punch myself in the face. I just said we. I don't like when people refer to
when you play for the squad,
as you know. So, yeah. But like, they're wasting first round picks on guys like, I mean, N'Keal Harry. Like,
that was
just
a rough
basically
one.
Just cut him.
Yeah, that right? one specifically, I think, might be the worst because. Two guys we just mentioned, A.J. Brown and Debo Samuel, were drafted right after him.
Right.
So, like, that's such a killer.
And on a personal level,
yeah,
letting Rohan Davey walk when that's a jersey I would have owned forever.
Yeah. A nice R. Davey jersey.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. I agree. To me, it's Butler. And then two, it's this Matt Patricia experience. And then three, it was how it ended with Tom Brady. I feel like he could have.
So I don't know how you feel about this, but do you buy into this conspiracy theory that the reason that Matt Patricia is here and had no official role with the team is that they named him a coordinator that Detroit wouldn't pay his contract? Is that the whole thing?
100%. It's because he was a free guy.
Yeah. So it's just like you it's free for a year. Let's just see how it works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was a combination of Belichick wasn't going to take Bill O'Brien away from Nick Saban after only being there for 1 year, and then he didn't have to pay Matt Patricia, and there was nobody else really readily available. Now, there's no way he thought it was going to go this poorly, but I think all of that played into why he was the guy for a year.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Because it was free. What do you have to lose at that point, right?
Yeah, right. Just like free. Yeah. You know, one time, the old baseball challenge, which was a salary cap fantasy league back in the day, I think it was like 97, 98. So every guy had like a salary, right? So,
yeah.
So if you and I were in the same league, we could both have Roberto Alomar, and each week their value would go up or down. So you could like lock them in at a price. Long story short, the reason I even bring this up is there was a guy on the White Sox named Herbert Perry. For some reason, free guy. He was zero. He cost $0. So I had him in my lineup.
How did he feel about that?
Can't be great. He's the only guy. Everybody else was like, I feel like it started at like $2, $3, $4 million. It was like, you know, guys were getting up to 10 plus, and then he was free. So Herbert Perry, forever.
He was just a bag of balls, that guy, right?
Yep. Sure was.
I played in a league like that once, and I got Geronimo Baroa in the league.
Ooh, Geronimo Baroa.
And that was the year he hit like out of nowhere, hit like 50 home runs.
There's a lot of those guys that would have the one or two. I remember John Jaha was a great player for me during those times. He had like two, probably like 40 home run season. Well, yeah, that's the pinnacle. That's the guy you want. All right, who is going to be playing in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks? So basically, who do you got?
I cannot hear a word you're saying, okay. But I know the question, right. Thankfully.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the Bengals and the Eagles.
All right.
I don't think the Chiefs have it. I think Mahomes has hurt enough, and they don't have enough weapons. So I'm going to go give me Bengals-Eagles.
Okay. I am going Bengals-Eagles as well, and so is Ben. So we're all going Bengals-Eagles so far, and I like it. It's super close spreads. Like this weekend, everybody, they're anticipating close games. 2.5 in the NFC, 1.5 in the AFC. Who, this is the final question. We may have more. He can't hear me. The final question. Who would you pick to perform at halftime of said Super Bowl? Of course, I think it was like months ago, they said they offered Taylor Swift, and then it ended up being Rihanna. I'm excited about the Rihanna show myself. But if not Rihanna, if you could pick anybody else, who else would it be? And let's go with an active person. It's got to be somebody that is currently performing. It can't be all time or not. And we're having audio issues here with Davey.
So, I got you now.
Oh, you got me now. All right, awesome.
I got you now, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Halftime performer, if it was up to you, who do you take?
I think they missed it like a couple of years, maybe it'd be last year or a couple years ago, Metallica.
Oh, yeah. That would probably be pretty good.
I would love the NFL to give me fuel, to give me fire,
that's right.
To give me that which I desire.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In a big, big setting.
In a big, big old setting.
That's right.
So I, call me crazy, do you think Tenacious D could do a stadium show?
I believe they do. Don't
oh,
they?
That's right. Yeah.
I know they do.
They were in like London. I have that whole live DVD. Yeah. I think of them. Yeah, they rock people's socks right off.
They certainly do. And I think they played. It's not a very big venue, but I think they played at Meadowbrook in New Hampshire in Guilford.
Oh, did they really?
I think they rocked the house there this past summer.
So if you can play Guilford, you can play the Super Bowl.
It's Guilford, New Hampshire. I mean, that's the same thing, right?
I mean, for God's sake.
That'd be my Super Bowl.
Yeah, it sure would be. I have a bonus question for you because I thought I had it in here and I didn't. Is Scott Rowland a Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay.
But I feel like, and I'm going to say this, and I'm thank God I'm on Boston Sports Radio.
Yeah.
He has the same exact career stats as Derek Jeter. So you can't say that Derek Jeter's a first ballot Hall of Famer and Scott Rowland isn't.
Yeah. So
if you side-by-side them, they are the exact same player.
Minus a couple of World Series, probably.
Like World Series. Minus World Series, but like, to me, again, Derek Jeter is the most overrated baseball player in the history of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's also something about such a premium position, and there really isn't that many all-time greats at shortstop, which is weird because I always want to be like, Jeter's not the best. I don't think he's the best shortstop. In fact, a lot of the years he played in New York, he wasn't even the best shortstop on his own team. But
That's the argument I always go to.
Yeah,
that he's not even the greatest shortstop on his own team.
But it's not exactly loaded, right? Because you're like, all right, Cal Ripken, A-Rod. I don't know, the Wizard. Like, who do you got? There's not, like, it's not not a ton of shortstops.
Nomar guy.
Nomar kid. Yeah, probably Nomar is one of them. Yeah, but Scott Rock and Roland got in this week. I was like, I don't really understand that.
The other thing that I don't understand, too, can people stop with this whole, like, soapbox high horse with, like, the steroid era? Can we cut that out?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many good baseball players that aren't getting into the Hall of Fame.
No.
Because of sports writers.
Yeah.
Because of nerdy, geeky sports writers who, like, can't get over themselves. And the fact that baseball didn't really have a good time for, like, 10 years.
It's so frustrating because I always tell myself that I'm not going to get worked up about it because, like you said, it's kind of out of our control. It's up to these writers to vote them in. And yet every year I get pissed because you're telling me A-Rod and Manny aren't Hall of Famers, but Scott Rolen is. And you're like, okay, I don't really. But not only that, but they said Scott Rolen wasn't a Hall of Famer. They didn't vote him in until like his fifth or sixth year on the ballot. So even they didn't like him 5 years ago.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they do. So that whole thing is maddening to me.
And what's crazy to me is like all the guys who are now eligible for the Hall of Fame are all going to be have played in that steroid era. So we're just not going to let anybody in? Or are you going to let mediocre players in just to make your point?
Well, and then that's what's frustrating too is then those guys get in and we shouldn't be spending so much time just crapping all over Scott Rolen because he was a good player. Like, he was a really
good player. Scott Rolen's a good player.
Yeah, not a Hall of Famer. But if he, say he got in with Manny and with A-Rod, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of surprising. But, like, you wouldn't freak out about it. It's like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens aren't in, but all these other guys, like Craig Biggio is. So I just, it's, I don't know. It's what it is every year, though.
Oh, it's so stupid.
It's maddening, frustrating. All right, let's go to the horn here. You can join us, 617-779-7937. Kyle is in Lowell. He joins us next on the program. Kyle, how are you?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Good.
So I got two candidate suggestions for Bill Belichick's worst coaching decision.
Okay.
Although I do love Bill. I hate to see him ever go.
Of course.
But 2018, I mean, the draft, he's got to have a feeling, even if Brady is maybe 50-50. At best, you got a draft slate quarterback to back him up. I mean, you got Lamar sitting there, and you go Sony Michel and the big stiff Isaiah can't block nobody win.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be up there.
That's a good one.
And then another random one that always stuck out to me, it was weird of Bill, was I think 2019, the next season, last game of the year against the Dolphins, the clinch home playoff. He throws an onside kick, I believe, with the lead with like 30 seconds left. And then the Dolphins end up squeaking. Oh, no, we was tied. Mm-hmm. And he goes onside kick, like last play of the game, like under a minute. Dolphins end up squeaking out a win with a field goal. I don't know if you remember that. Then we go to Tennessee. That's when he kind of blew up coaching against because we weren't at home. We probably win that game at home. That was the year Brady was kind of iffy, and we were great at home that year. I don't know if you remember
that. Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, there were some head-scratching ones like that. And, you know, the ones I went with were more sort of like the bigger picture. Oh, Malcolm Butler's one game. But the other ones are sort of like multi-game, multi-thing, not, you know, fourth and two people have brought up. Another one that I was talking with Fitzy was you go back to the Super Bowl against the Giants, and there was an opportunity to kick a long field goal with Gostkowski, and they didn't. And then they punted, and then the Giants came down and scored a touchdown. I was like, well, you got to trust maybe your kicker there to try to get some points on the board. Didn't do it. Good one with the 2018 draft. I mean, they, again, could have had Lamar Jackson. If you weren't committed to Brady long-term, you could have had Lamar Jackson. And in 2020, you passed up on Jalen Hurts. You could have had Jalen Hurts if you wanted him.
So. And isn't I remember hearing Bill talk a lot about how high he was on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, they worked him out. They brought him in. They worked him out. And I guess they were like, I guess at that point, I wonder how Brady would have handled that.
Right. Because you remember like when the Packers brought in Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers like lost his mind.
Did not
like,
care
I don't think Brady would have done that. And I think that, you know, at the time, maybe he's like, all right, well, you know, I get to bring this kid along. He's not going to start right away, but he gets to see like how it works and all of those things. And I'm a big believer in that. Believe it or not, like I'm a big believer in drafting a young quarterback who's under somebody for like 2-3 years. And that's the plan.
I mean, it's worked a couple of times. Like, I think it's tough because right now in the NFL, there's such an advantage if you're not paying your starting quarterback very much and then you can pay other guys. And so you kind of want to maximize the rookie deal quarterback, which obviously Green Bay's not doing. Like, they haven't played Jordan Love really yet at all. But it doesn't mean he won't end up being really good. It just means that.
Well, no.
Yeah, right. Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to say, that's the exact same thing that happened to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, Mahomes ended up being sort of perfect where he sat 1 year and then he was like ready to go like gangbusters. I think it was an MVP, like his first year or second year or whatever it was. But he sat for one, got to watch Alex Smith. Team was decent, but not nearly as good as they've been. So. All right, there you go. We have one final segment to go. I'm glad we worked out some of the technical issues there. We should be good to go the rest of the way. We're going to do a little This Week in Hashtag Dork when we come back here on The Rich Keefe Show, WEEI.
It's The Rich Keefe Show on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
All right, wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of The Rich Keefe Show. Davey Eyeballs from the Hashtag Dork podcast is here, which means let's get to this.
This Week in Dork.
Yeah! All right, Ryan, well, our podcast has turned into a The Last of Us recap pod. We've done, we did episode 2 last week. We'll do episode 3 coming up on Sunday night. And also, news today got picked up for a second season, which maybe not surprising, but certainly good news. Uh-oh.
To the surprise of absolutely nobody.
Yeah, right.
That this show got picked up for a second season. But it was funny today because I was reading also, so it was this news that this came out, and they were talking to Neil Druckmann, who is the director of the game as well as the showrunner for the HBO show. And he said they didn't know whether or not they were going to do a third game.
Oh,
so it's being talked about of a third if they game. Don't have a story or they don't have, if they can't get the story right, they're just not going to do it and just leave it where it ended in the second season, a second game. So I'm guessing we got 4 or 5 seasons of this.
Yeah, I feel like each game is probably around 2 seasons.
Has to be. So, yeah. Especially the second game has to be at least 2 seasons.
Oh, my God, at least. And if they're only doing 9 episode seasons, I think that's definitely doable. By the way. We should probably do like a 10:30 start time on Sunday if you can do that, because I think the AFC Championship game starts at 6:30. It's probably going to go to 9:30, so I might not be able to watch it right at 9. How's that grab?
You can handle it? You got something better to do? What else? I mean,
well, I think Bengals.
That's what SportsCenter's for.
Oh, that's a good point. Catch the replays. I'll find it on Twitter. See how the game ends as Burrow's marching him down in a game-winning drive or whatever. But yeah, we'll figure that out. We'll tweet it out at Dork Podcast what we're doing there. If you're again a fan of the show, which it's great, and they're only 2 episodes in, so if you haven't watched it yet, jump in on board and catch up as the season goes on. The Oscars and the Razzie nominations came out this week. Anything jump out to you on either one?
So it jumped out to me. I don't know if I got the right copy of the Elvis movie.
No,
but how in God's name is that getting nominated for Best Picture?
I don't get that at all. It was terrible.
At all. Not only that, but like Blonde, the Marilyn Monroe movie, is nominated for like 7 Razzies or something. And yet Ana de Armas is nominated for Best Actress.
Right. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Pick a lane here. Yeah, Elvis. And it's funny because Tom Hanks got nominated for 2 Razzies, best worst actor and worst supporting actor. One of them for his role in Elvis, which is just like it's not supposed to be comical, but it is.
No.
And yeah, that movie was really, really bad. Now, I've seen a million movies that came out this past year. However, I've only seen 4 out of 10 of the Oscar noms. And that was one of them. So I don't know how many of these I'm going to watch. It seems like kind of a chore because I feel like the fun ones I watched. I watched Banshees of Inisherin, Top Gun Maverick, and Everything Everywhere All at Once, and then Elvis. All the other ones seems like it might just not be that much fun.
The other one I did see, it's nominated for Best Animated Feature, but not Best Picture, was Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Oh, I saw that. That was good.
Actually phenomenal if you haven't seen that.
Of course, a year where we got 2 Pinocchio films.
Would you think in the year of our Lord 2023 that we would, or 2022, that we would get not one but 2
amazing
big budget Pinocchio movies?
I don't know which one. I'm probably not going to see Avatar because that's still in theaters. All Quiet on the Western Front. Maybe I think that might be on one of the streamers. I'll watch that. I guess. I don't know.
Not to be this guy, but I read that book like 20 years ago. I don't remember.
Brag.
I remember it was. I really liked it, but
maybe it's
I don't know if I want to see the movie.
All right. Speaking of wanting to see the movie, Shazam! Fury of the Gods trailer came out. This movie comes out March 17th. Although we don't know if it's even going to be included in the future DC plans or not. It's just this movie was made. Let's put it out there. No connection to Black Adam at all, even though the characters very much should have a connection. So is this movie worth seeing?
Not to pay for. I think this is something that I will probably see once it streams. Because like you said, I mean, with all the changes going on at DC, I don't know how this fits in.
I don't know. I don't know where it lines up either. I don't think it lines up at all. We lost you. We lost audio. We lost Davey audio. It's like, why not at this point? I don't know. You got zapped out of there. So if you can chime back in, we only got a couple minutes left anyway. But yeah, this one, the first Shazam was pretty good. So maybe as a standalone, the one movie might be all right. But I it's not a part of a bigger universe, which I think is what a lot of people really want to see.
So where did I lose you? Am I back now?
Yeah, you're back now.
Okay. So the thing that gets me is like, this was probably in the can before the James Gunn stuff happened.
Yeah.
So like, we just got to put it out at this point, right?
We spent a lot of money on it, and I guess, you put it out. And there'll be an audience for it, because the first one was decent enough. Speaking of comic book movies, Tobey Maguire says he'd play Spider-Man again. Of course, he was in the Sam Raimi trilogy, and then he came back for No Way Home, and everybody was hyping him up, and they were like, oh, they couldn't believe he came back, and now he's saying he'd come back. And I'm guessing it's probably because it would also come along with a giant paycheck.
Well, now, and I don't think he didn't get the bag the first time around with Spider-Man, so he'll probably get it now.
Mm-hmm.
And with Secret Wars, there is a way to do it.
You could do it. You get him in there. So you maybe you haven't seen the last of Tobey Maguire. Pedro Pascal will be hosting SNL a week from tomorrow. He, of course, is the Mandalorian and the star of The Last of Us. So do they do a parody on both of those or just one of those? Which is more likely to be parodied on SNL?
Both, but could you imagine, wouldn't it be cool as like a mashup of the two?
Oh, yep. They could definitely do that. The Last of Us with The Mandalorian.
Right.
That's the
Manda Last of Us.
There you go. You see, you just wrote it for him.
I just wrote it for him.
I haven't watched a lot of SNL, but from all accounts, it's not great anymore.
Not great.
Yeah.
It's like Mad TV. It'll have like one sketch per episode that's like laugh out loud funny, but that's it.
I like Mad TV. Mad TV had a good run. Mm-hmm. The key to Mad TV was it started at 11, so you had a half hour where you weren't going up against SNL, so you really wanted to put your good stuff in that first half hour. We got the trailer for Succession Season 4, one of the best shows on TV, comes back March 26th. I know you have not watched it.
I'm going to, though.
Okay.
I'm going, once I finish The Leftovers, which you told me to do, which I'm on my way.
Okay.
So.
What season are you in The Leftovers?
I'm halfway through, most of the way through Season 1.
Okay. Oh, that's a great show. It's just a tremendous show. You People is streaming on Netflix right now. This is the Eddie Murphy, Jonah Hill movie. I'm going to watch it at some point. You have any interest in this?
I do. The trailer actually looked really funny.
Yeah.
It made it look really funny. It's not on Roddy T's right now. I think it's not doing well. But
it's teetering.
I've seen good comedies not do well critically. So
true. Good point. And then finally, Ryan, we have the Royal Rumble tomorrow. Does that do anything for you? I know you're not a big wrestling fan anymore.
Again, 20 years ago, you would have had me on the edge of my seat. But now I don't think I could name you five people who are in the Rumble this year.
Well, good news is the Rumble usually brings back some of the old stars. There are rumors out there that The Rock or Stone Cold or John Cena could all potentially return tomorrow.
Well, The Rock's got time in his hands now that he's not dealing with DC anymore.
That is true. Although he's got the XFL he's going to get off the ground. So he's got that going for him. All right.
How long has that been going on?
No, it's a new version. This one's for sure going to hit. All right. That is all the time we have. Boomer and Valenti come your way next to talk some football. But Davey Eyeballs, always a pleasure. We will be on Sunday night, probably a late one, recapping episode 3 of The Last of Us. But thanks for jumping on tonight, sir.
God bless. I love being here.
All right, Ben, great job producing and the trending. That'll do it for this episode of The Rich Keefe Show this week on The Rich Keefe Show. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football, and we will talk to you Monday at 6:00.